Amen. Ready to hear God's word? Amen. Before I forget, I just want to share something real quickly that the Lord dropped on me as I was in the corner worshiping. The presence of the Lord was awesome. The Spirit is moving. You know, as Pastor Dave was talking about revival in India, I feel that it's coming here. It's coming here. It's coming to us. God is moving. He's on the move. But he reminded me of God has really been dealing with me. Judgment starts with the church. And I'm not talking about judgment, heaven, hell. I'm talking about judgment. God deals with the church before it can deal with other people. He needs me to be right, to get right. And as I was in the corner, God was reminding me of a word that my wife gave me. It was a word from God by the Spirit through my wife. And he reminded me of how sometimes in, you know, the Christian walk is a walk of faith. But we know that there's a lot of warfare. God has called us into a battle. God has not called us into a playground, but he's called us into the battlefield. And sometimes it gets rough, amen. And God was reminding me of how easy it is to, instead of guarding our heart like he's called us to, we have a tendency to harden our heart. And then before we know it, we're walking around with a hard heart. And so God was reminding me of how he wants the church to walk in unconditional love. When me and my wife opened up we're going on 8 years next month here in Kerrville, I remember that I did not want to. That is the truth. I had done ministry for 9 years. I had been involved in a ministry in San Antonio, Texas. It was a rough ministry. And, you know, and when God began to deal with me, I began to argue with God. And I began, Lord, you know, I just want to go to work. I want to pay my tithes. I want to seek your face. And, you know, with my family, me, my wife, and my kids, you know. And the Lord began to deal with me. And I began to argue, Lord, I've done 9 years of ministry work, Lord. But the Lord reminded me that there's no retirement, amen, in the kingdom of God. There's no retirement. There truly isn't no retirement. God has called us till the day he calls us back home, amen. God has called us to do a work. I was sharing with one of the guys the other day at the house. He's like, Reuben, you know, God has called us for intimacy. Yes, yes, definitely. But he also has a plan and a purpose for your life and for my life. We're not just to come and, you know, and just wait and hide from the devil till Jesus gets here. God has a plan and a purpose. There's people that have the ministry of going into the prison system. My wife does that. Sister Sylvia does that back there. Sister Sylvia McGinnis, awesome work. And they go in because that's the plan that God has for them. Why? They're planting and they're watering in the prison system. Why? Because it's a plan that God has for their life. It's a plan. So every person has a plan and a purpose. Amen. We're every single person. And, a couple of years back as I started to get, not that I'm not, I'm getting older, I said, well, there's always a use for, even as we get older, there's always a use and a purpose. We can still pray. We can still teach. Amen. And so God was reminding me of the purpose. You know, God was reminding me of how he has a plan, and it's not our plan. My plans have always failed, and your plans will always fail. But God has a perfect plan for your life, amen? Perfect. God is God's plan, but we have to remember that it's God's plan, not our plan, amen? And I always tell the guys when they come in, a person asked me the other day, what's the percentage of people getting healed in the home? And I say, it's 100%. And he freaked out. He said, well, you mean to tell me every person that comes to the home makes it? I said, well, no, let me explain myself. I said, every person that comes in, surrenders their heart to God, can make it and will make it. Every person, it's 100%. God doesn't fail, amen? And so I was, you know, so those are just things that in the ministry that God has called me and my wife in working with guys, I said, those are little, the only reason that I'm here is because I'm a little bit older than you. I'm not, you know, I'm a little bit mature, and I can tell you some of the traps, and that's one, you know, that, you know, understanding. Another one is that, hey, I always tell the guys, your faith has to be in Christ and Christ alone. It can't be in a home. The home will never keep you. The church will never keep you. It has to be your faith in Christ. The church, the building, is just in order for us to gather. We come in. It's a building. But you are the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, know ye not that you are the temple of the living God? Amen. And verse 20 says, and you don't belong to yourselves. You belong to God because you have been bought with a price. Amen. So always, those are little things that God always reminds me when I get a little rebellious. God reminds me, Reuben, who's in charge? Before I answer that, I said, you are, Lord. Why? Because I've been in charge of my life, and I made a mess of my life. And now I understand why God says that we are like sheep, amen? And every sheep needs a pastor over their life. And God was telling me, you know, I created you. I have created you. And if anybody can fix you when you start going or you start turning or going astray, it's me. Because I know you. I created you while you were in your mother's womb. And I know everything about you. And so this morning I'm gonna share a little bit on prayer, amen, a call to intimacy. But we're gonna start off with Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. Amen. I don't know if we're gonna have it up there today. There it is, 21:13. And it says, and he said to them, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Amen. And I was sharing how last night it's so easy to stray away from that. It's so easy to get moved away from what really works. Amen. And I've tried to serve God on my own strength. And I've tried to do things on my own power. And, you know, that's when things begin to go south. But when I rely on God and I go back and God begins to show me that he is the answer to every problem that we can run into, and he wants me to rely on him and to pray. My house will be called a house of prayer. But he's not talking about, yes, sure, he's talking about the church, because we do have corporate prayer, but God is also calling us to move aside into our prayer closet. He does talk about the prayer closet. He talks about praying to him, to finding a spot somewhere and praying and crying out to him. I was sharing yesterday how the cross is, if you look at the cross, it's our communion with God and then relationships. It's about relationships. And I know that for a fact that when my relationship is not well with God, I'm struggling. I know that I struggle with relationships on the side. I begin to struggle. I begin to want to hide but the truth is that God has called us to be a light. Amen. A light. God has called us to be salt. But how can we be salt if we're not in prayer? How can we be salt? How can we be strong in the Lord? And that's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But how can we be that if we are weak? So that means if God is calling us to be strong, it means that we can be weak within ourselves. And there's times where I know that God has called me to help others, and I'm in trouble because I'm so weak that I can't even reach out to a person. And that's when God begins to deal with me. You need to come back to your prayer life, to your prayer closet. Why? Because that's where you're going to draw your strength. That's where you're going to become the salt and the light. Amen. Why? Because it's his heart being transferred in prayer, in our relationship with God. And it's so important that we don't allow ourselves to be moved from there. Now, it will happen. I believe it will happen. I believe it happens to everybody, that we have a tendency to begin to stray. And especially as we begin to move away from prayer, we begin to see that, ooh, you know, it's like when a child is riding a bike. And sometimes he gets a little bit too cocky, and then all of a sudden he falls flat on his face. And so the same is true of us when we move away from prayer. We have a tendency to move away. He said, all like sheep have a tendency to stray. But it's when we catch ourselves and we move back into fellowship with the Lord that we can be that beacon and that light. We can be that support here in the church. When somebody comes and needs help, we can help. Has anybody ever come to help like with me? And I had to send them to my wife because she's a strong one sometimes. And the Lord said, no, I'm sending them to you. You need to get. And so, you know, so God always redirects me back to my prayer life. Because I understand that without prayer, I cannot accomplish what God has called me to accomplish. I cannot fake fruit, amen. And by that I mean I cannot fake the love, the peace, and the joy that the Spirit of God can give us. And sometimes when we're walking in our own strength, we try to produce that fruit. But sooner or later it begins to come out, amen, that we're not there. We're not walking in that love. And all of a sudden we find ourselves joyless. And I've talked to many of, when I was doing ministry in San Antonio, and I met a lot of gentlemen. When I was a new Christian, I remember a guy telling me, Ruben, because the guy would sit in front, and he was like, didn't talk to anybody. Then one day he told me, Ruben, just wait till 4 more years. You're going to be just like me. And I said, oh, God, is that true? And by that, I mean that he had lost his joy. He had lost his faith in God. But see, prayer always produces, intimacy always produces faith. Where your faith is strong and vibrant. Why? Because you've been talking to the King of Kings. You've been talking to the Lord. You've been ministering to God. And when we don't minister to God, we find ourselves in hard places. If we minister, whenever I see a guy that is hard in the home, you know what? I come to a conclusion that it's his prayer life. He's hard with other people. Why? Because he hasn't learned to be connected to God. And as you're connected, something happens. Amen? We know it because when the worship is so awesome and the word is awesome and the worship is awesome in this church. Amen? And the presence of God just falls and you just feel like hugging the whole world. Well, what happens when we're not? You know, we find ourselves in having a tendency to, you know, or you go around that way or this way, avoid people, and we begin to avoid people because we, you know, our heart is the further we move away from God, the harder our heart gets, and that's why we need, God made it to where we need to come to him every day. That's a picture to me. The picture of the Old Testament is a picture of what was to come. It's a shadow, amen. So if you remember how when they started crying out for food, the Israelites, God began to feed them manna, but he said that you could only pick up for what? For one day. It was a picture how we, to keep us humble. Number one, number two, that we had to come every day and partake of the sustenance that only he can give. It was a shadow of what was to come. And so it's a picture of us, how we need to come to God every day. Every day we're to come to prayer. And I'm going to read another story right now. It's in Luke chapter 10, verse 38-42. And it starts off like this. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Welcomed who? Welcomed Jesus. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She was what? She was distracted, amen, with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. Verse 41. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. Verse 42. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Which was what? She was at his feet, worshiping and praying and just loving on Jesus. And Martha was so concerned that she was out of it. And she said, Lord, you know, can't you tell her to help me? And the Lord said, she has chosen one thing, not only, but the phrase that really hit me was, there's one thing that is necessary. So God is telling us that it's necessary to what? to sit at his feet and worship and pray and seek the Lord. It's necessary that we do that. It's necessary that we come. Come to me, all ye that are tired and heavy laden. And sometimes if we're honest with each other, if we're honest with ourselves, that's the way we come. But it's in our DNA to find it hard sometimes to let our guard down and tell people I'm struggling. What is the norm of us to say? Hallelujah, victory, brother. Oh, man, and I'm going through it, man. I'm like, oh, barely hanging on by a thread. But there's a tendency, it's in our DNA that we, you know, the fallen nature, that we have a tendency to make people believe that we're doing okay. But we're okay if we're at the feet and worshiping and loving on Jesus, but we're not okay if we're not. If we moved away from that, the truth is that we become weak. And God had never called us to be a body of weak believers. God never said that the scorpion and the snake was to trample over us. He said, I've given you authority to trample over these things. I've given you the authority, but it comes through Christ. Amen. As we remain here in our prayer life, worshiping and believing and feeding from this precious book called the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen. And so, you know, if we stay there and we remain there, we're good. Like last night, I was nervous, man. For a little bit, I got real nervous. I was trying to follow my notes, and I went back and I just prayed. I said, Lord, I understand that, sure, the word is, but you've already given me the word. The word is for your people. So just help me deliver it. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be nervous. I don't want to give out that energy. I said, help me. And as I worshiped this morning, God began to. As I prayed this morning, God began to tell me, move away from your notes. I want you to depend on me. Because we start as preachers, we start depending a lot on our notes. I know I do. And God is teaching me, move away from your notes. I'm going to speak. All I need is a vessel to speak through, Reuben. You remove yourself out of the way. Just be that person and stand, and I will give you the words. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, it's no longer I, this is Paul speaking, but it's Christ that living in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and delivered himself up for me. Paul was saying, I'm just a vehicle being used by the Spirit of God. He dwells in me, and he's driving this vehicle. He's the one that's telling me, move to the left, to the right, go here, go there, say this, preach this, love, go, correct, talk. He was a vehicle, and that's all we are. We're vehicles, but we need to fill ourselves. We need to fill the vessel with words that will be edifying, these words that will help build up the church. Amen. There's time for, I tell the guys, because I work with this group over here, on the way on the far left, about 20 guys, me and my wife. And I always tell them, you know, correction is from God, man. So when you're being corrected, I thank God that God let me see that when I got saved, that he wasn't trying to hurt me. He was trying to help me. But I had to allow myself to be corrected. Because I had a lot of world in me. I came from Egypt, the world. And there was so much in me that had to come out. And I had a man over me that had been in the ministry for 20 years. He was like 6'3". He looked mean. And he'll get on my face and say, Reuben, you can't say those things. Sit down. And he would take out the word, I thank God, and correct me. This is what the word says. But he was cutting out, the Lord was cutting out things out of my life that didn't need to be there. Cutting out. He was forming. If we allow him, he wants to form the image of God in us. As he says, as we go from what? From glory to glory to glory. Amen. We're not there. We'll never be there. Paul said, imagine Paul, the great apostle, said, I'm not claiming that I'm there. He said, I'm not there by any means. He understood that he wasn't going to until he got final sanctification would be when he came to heaven and stood before the Father. Then we will be given another body. Amen? Thank God, I sure need one. Thank God, I sure need one. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We worry about things, and God says, there's only one thing necessary is to seek my face. I will supply you. Because me and my wife get that, like that sometimes. But we've been here almost 8 years. We started on first and then another. And I was like, when we opened up in West, I wasn't sure if it was the Lord. I wasn't. And I was scared. I was like, more money, more bills, more people. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know about this. But my wife kept praying and she kept saying, I feel like it's God. And I said, okay, let's open. And if it's God, it'll remain. If it's not God, it's not going to remain. And we've been there almost 3 years now, here on West. And we've been all together. We opened up 8 years ago. And it's been trial and error. And it's been, but one thing I understand, that I cannot do it. I have to pray and I have to seek. And because God can do it through me, but I cannot do it. And it's been trial and error and growing. I'm finally growing. God brought me into this church in 2008. I don't know how many years that had been, like 12? I don't know, like 12 years I've been here. And just now, God's breaking me out of bad habits. But not that I believe that I'm it. I've struggled where the Lord has showed me with issues in my life. Low self-esteem and stuff. But God is working, and God has all been working with me and working with me and working with me. I was sharing with somebody this morning that I was not the person to stand before people and speak. I was terrified. The first time they told me I was going to preach for 15 minutes, I thank God the man saw something in me. He saw a little bit of Jesus in me. He said, you're going to preach today. And I started shaking. My knees started knocking. And I was like, oh, no. I'm not. And he said, I'm not asking you. I'm telling you, you're going to preach. I was like, oh my God, what am I getting myself into? But I thank God, as I would get up and speak, I would be amazed at the things that would come out. I was like, man, it has to be God. It couldn't be me. And God began to build my confidence in him, not in myself, in him. Still to this day, when I'm not, I'm struggling till God, okay, I got you. Okay, then I'll speak. But it's a struggle. It's a battle. And then the devil doesn't want you to speak the truth. Why? Because as we speak truth, things begin to break off. The truth will set us free. But we need to be willing to receive that truth. Yeah, that is me. I have been lacking. Because it's easy. When I was in the home, and the worst thing they did for me is, you're a leader. And I was like, sometimes they would make altar calls, and I never made one. Why? They might know, I'm a leader. Everybody knew my condition, which wasn't good. But I thank God that he was teaching, and he's still teaching. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, I'm going to share a couple of scriptures with you. Now, if Jesus had to pray, how much more don't we need to pray? Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, and in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. Amen. Matthew 14:23. It says, after he had sent the crowd away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Luke chapter 9, verse 18 says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Amen. And so, God has left us an example of how we need to slip away. If he had to slip away, how much more will we not need to slip away and pray? How much more will we must enter our prayer closet and find time or make time to be alone with God? I know that we get busy. I know that we need to work, and I know that there's things that need to be done, but we must make time to pray. Because if we leave it to the fact that, hey, you know what? If I have time, we'll never have time to pray. But we must make time. I need to go and do something, and I need to be at a place at a certain hour in the morning. I need to get up early before I make that appointment and get in and lock in with God. I really try my best. Now, once again, do I always? No. That's when I find myself in trouble. Amen. But as I do it, because I disciplined myself when I was in the home. I disciplined my prayer life. We would get up at 5 o'clock every morning, and I would make sure that I was up by 4:30 because they were calling me a leader, and I had to deal with the 80 characters that were in the home. And I couldn't deal with those guys. They were rough guys, man, from the street. Some were saved, some were not saved. You know, still cussing and, you know, rebellious. And we had it all. And I would have to pray. I would have to get up 30 minutes before and pray and seek the Lord. Why? Because I needed the power of God. I needed the love of God flowing through me to handle, to be able to love other people. Amen. And I needed the power. I needed God. I need the presence of God in my life to make the right decisions. To be able to do the work of the Lord. To be able to be that person that God was calling me to be. Because we can't do it on our own. And that's the truth. We cannot produce good fruit in us on our own. We can be cool and, you know, and calm and everything else. But we can't love unconditionally unless we have the love of God in us. And that's what Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says. The love of God has been poured abroad in our hearts through the Spirit. So God has given us the love to love. But we have to do our part, and we have to make time to spend with God alone in prayer. And but I also want to share this, that, and sometimes we are praying, right? I was sharing this last night that sometimes we do get into prayer. But I was sharing that not all prayer is good prayer, and that's the truth. The truth, God will show us through his word. If you read the story of the Pharisees, you can see it in them. They were praying men, right? They boasted about their prayer life. Hey, some said, hey, I pray 2 hours. I pay my tithes, and I do this, and I do that. But they had a horrible character. There was no fruit in them. And sometimes, you know, when I'm struggling like that and I'm praying and I see that my character is horrible, I have to go the other way and say, God, what is it in my life that's keeping our relationship fresh and vibrant? What is it? And God began to show me how it's about being on the same page with God. How God wants to pour so much in us, but we have to be on the same page. Meaning what? Sometimes there's things that come in. Amen. And God was showing me how there's laws, there are bio laws, right? There are scientific laws here on earth. Amen. Like, for instance, water boils at 212 Fahrenheit. Water freezes at 32 degrees. Amen. And if a person falls off a skyscraper, he falls at 32 feet per second. That's every time. Those are bio laws, scientific laws. But God has also placed spiritual laws. Amen? For example, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. Verse 2 says, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. So God has also placed spiritual laws. Amen? And I always share with the guys in the home, right? When they start bumping heads and, you know, and somebody comes to me and so-and-so is talking about so-and-so, and I always get them together and I minister to them and I tell them, you're not hurting anybody, you're hurting yourself. You're cutting yourself off from the source. Who is the source? Jesus is the source. He's the vine. We are the branches. Amen. And so I tell him, you're cutting yourself off. And it happens. I catch myself. I have to catch myself when I'm saying things, or all of a sudden I become the judge, and all of a sudden I become critical or judgmental. I have to tell myself that I cannot walk with God and carry that stuff with me. One of the two always has to go, either the presence of God or the sin in my life. To me, it's very simple. No, oh, I'll leave it there. Second time. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. I was sharing with my wife, because she was helping me put the message together somehow. And I said, you know what? Sometimes we treat the word of God like Luby's cafeteria. We go in there and we want to pick and choose. Like me, I love the fish, right? The macaroni, the mashed potatoes. Go straight to those, pick them out. But sometimes we want to treat the word of God like Luby's cafeteria. We want to pick and choose. But God said, no, you can't pick and choose. You gotta eat the whole enchilada with the rice and the beans. Amen. You gotta have it all. If we want to be right before God, I cannot hold grudges against my brothers. I cannot. Have I? Yes, in the past. God has dealt with me about holding grudges. Cannot hold grudges, Reuben, and walk with me. You cannot criticize. You can't judge. You can't condemn people. You can't do that. You are the salt. Amen. You are the light. How can I be the salt and the light when I'm hurting and not helping? Amen. And so God always reminds me how we need to be on the same page if we're going to walk with God. We have to walk right. We have to remove ourselves from things that hurt us. Psalms chapter 66, verse 17 through 20 reads, I cried out to him with my mouth, and high praises was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. His steadfast love from me. God's love is steadfast towards us. Has anybody ever felt that I'm the only one? When I started, I struggled with the fact that God loved me. God loved me. After all I had done, after all I had been through, that God loved me. And I still struggle from time to time because the devil comes very deceptive and he creeps in. And we don't say it with our mouth, and we're not like, some things God has to reveal to us by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit that God comes. Let me give you an example. I've held my hands up, and where I'm worshiping, and I say, oh, I love you, I love you. And the Lord tells me, really, Reuben? Do you love me? And what is God telling me? Examine yourself, Reuben. You've moved away from my love. At this point, you're not receiving, because it's not about, for a long time, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it talks about you have left your first love. And so it was about me getting my first love back, but the Lord said, no, you just come back and receive it. Because the scripture says that we couldn't love God unless because he first loved us. And we have to come to grips with that, because it's easy to move away from that and begin to think that, hey, well, I love God. You see how things creep in? All of a sudden, I've become prideful. I love God like these guys don't love God. But the truth is that I'm able to love him because he first loved me. God will never allow us to boast about things. God doesn't want us to boast about things. Paul said, if you're going to boast, boast in who? Boast in Christ and what he's done. That's the whole. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. James 4, 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, and it's to spend it on your passions. Amen. So at that point, God just asks us, usually tells me, repent in a loving way. God's not being harsh or mean, but we always have to remind ourselves that God is a holy God. And we have to be holy in order to walk and carry his name. If we're going to be Christians, then we have to live the life that he has been an example. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. We'll never be perfect. If you follow me around, you'll find out I'm not a perfect man. Or if you find, you know. But he's talking about being holy because now we can be cleansed. Believe it or not, but confession is powerful. It's powerful when we're able to confess things. We're able to come clean before the Lord. It's so powerful. Amen. And I shared a message a while back with the guys. There's three words that are so powerful that open up the heavens and, you know, bring resources from heaven down. And they all looked at me like, three words? I said, yeah, you know what they are? I am wrong. When I am wrong before God, I am wrong. I can't blame my wife. I can't blame anybody else. God is dealing with me. That's what I try to teach the guys. When this guy, you don't know. But no, really, in reality, God's dealing with you. I mean, yes, I'm not saying that the way he's behaving is good, or I'm not condoning the way he acts, but God is teaching you how to be a forgiving person. God is teaching you how to react, because Christianity is about reaction, how we react to things. We don't react like the world. You know what draws people to Christ? When they see you going through things and you got a smile on your face and you're going through rough times and you're going through things and obstacles and all kinds of things. And you've got that smile. Why? Because it comes from God. And it's powerful. Why? Because it draws people, because you don't react the way the world reacts. We react differently. With joy and knowing that we trust our Heavenly Father. Make sense? That we trust God. God is in control of my life. Do I always act that way? No, once again, I'm saying no, I don't. But when I don't and I get out of line, God has to come and deal with me. Reuben, come on, man. Why are you so concerned about this thing or that thing? Hey, why don't you just confess it is you? It's not your wife, it's you. I'm dealing with you. I mentioned my wife because in ministry, when you're this close, you know, working with girls and guys, sometimes it can get a little... You need the love of God. Amen. Thank God, man. Thank you, Jesus. God is good, man. I love my wife. I love her, man. She's, you know, I couldn't do what I do today without my wife. I love her. It says, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. And, you know, once again, God is not condemning. God is asking us to take a look at things in our life. Sometimes I have to sit and God will deal with me about how I need to ask my wife for forgiveness, or one of the homeboys for forgiveness, or, you know, or I'm being critical or judgmental with people. God is just asking me, Reuben, you know, it's not being hard. I've never had God yell at me. Never, not once. He's correcting me. It makes me cry because he corrects me in love. And I know that I'm being loved. And he tells me, hey, come on, man. Can't be like that with people. And so I'm trying to come in early when I do come and, you know, hang around a little bit and get to know more people. I've been here a long time. And it's difficult when we don't, you know, but God is asking me, not anybody else, me. Hey, Reuben, learn, man. Grow. You've got to grow in that area. I say, yes, Lord. Amen. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, that means just being honest. Amen. Just being honest with one another. being honest with God before him, that is you when he convicts us. That's me, Lord. Forgive me. And I guarantee you the presence of God, which is the greatest blessing of all, is the blessing of God, the presence of God in your life. Believe me, the presence of God, I'll take it over anything. Because I know what I can become without the presence of God. And I want to thank you for being patient with me up here. My wife is already saying, I told her, tell me if I'm going too far. She's already, cut it, man. I said, okay, sorry. Love you. Love you, Pastor. Thank you. Love you. Love you.